Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today we're digging into a really critical question, one that I think a lot of organizations are wrestling with. It's this. How does the huge rush toward digitalization, you know, all this new tech, how does that actually result in real measurable environmental sustainability?
It's a massive challenge, and the stakes are incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, environmental sustainability isn't some side project anymore.
No, not at all.
It's a global imperative. We're seeing this huge push for radical action from, you know, both companies and governments, and digital tech seems like the magic bullet.
The promise is huge, yeah. Using AI to make logistics smarter, using data to cut resource use, reduce emissions, all that.
Exactly. Minimizing waste. The potential is there.
But, and this is the big but, the reality on the ground is just so messy. We know that companies really struggle to get the environmental wins they expect from these huge tech investments.
And we know why. The failure rates for these big digital transformation projects are notoriously high. We're talking, what, 70, maybe 80% in some cases?
Well,
so that gap, you know, between the promise and the actual failure, it tells you something really important.
That you can't just look at the technology on its own.
You can't look at it in a vacuum. You have to look at the human factors, the structural stuff that makes it all work.
Right.
Or not work.
And that's our mission for this deep dive.
Precisely. We're going to use a framework called Resource Orchestration Theory, or ROT, to really investigate the specific mechanisms, both human and technical, that bridge that gap.
Okay.
We're isolating three key things. First, digital leadership capability, or DLC. Then digital technology alignment, DTA. And finally, digital innovation.
And it's not just about them existing separately, right? It's about how they work together.
Yes, how they jointly and even sequentially influence what we're calling environmental performance, or EP.
And we've got some really solid evidence to guide us here. The core findings we're talking about today are from survey data, right?
That's right, from 183 healthcare organizations in Australia.
Which is a perfect test case, really. I mean, healthcare is under this intense pressure to digitalize, but it also has a massive environmental footprint.
A huge one. It's a resource-intensive sector.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We have to start with the human element, the foundation. Digital leadership capability, DLC.
Mm.
You mentioned it combines technical and managerial skills, but how is that really different from just being a good, you know, a traditional leader?
That's a great question, because traditional leadership is often about managing what's already there, just making it more efficient.
Right.
DLC is different. It's specifically about the leader's ability to see the potential of digital transformation, to conceptualize it, and then to actively drive it.
So it's not just about approving a budget for new software.
Not at all. On the technical side, yeah, they need to understand things like cloud, data, machine learning, but that's only half of it.
Okay.
The other half, the managerial side, is about identifying the opportunities, driving that really difficult organizational change, you know, overcoming the resistance.
Which is always there.
Always. And then deploying totally new business models to actually capitalize on the tech.
And that brings us right back to resource orchestration theory, ROT. If DLC is the human resource, the theory says it's not just having it that matters.
It's knowing how to use it.
Yeah.
Exactly. ROT is so central here. The whole idea is that your advantage comes from actively orchestrating your resources.
What does that mean, orchestrating?
It means structuring them, bundling them, and then leveraging them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not passive. Think of a leader with DLC as like the conductor of an orchestra.
I like that analogy. So how does the conductor start the piece?
DLC is that first step, the structuring and bundling. The leader identifies the right talent, the knowledge, the digital tools they need. That's structuring.
Got it.
Then they combine those pieces into a clear vision and a team that can actually do the work. That's bundling. If you skip that, you just have a bunch of siloed resources. You know, one department buys software, but no one's trained, and it doesn't fit the strategy.
So a leader with strong DLC does that structuring and bundling. How does that connect specifically to, say, environmental action?
When DLC is strong, it just lights a fire under the organization's environmental creativity and proactiveness. It's not just a mission statement on a wall.
It's action.
It's the leader demanding specific outcomes. Things like, we are going to radically reduce toxic materials, or we will minimize radiation waste, or we will increase our use of recycled products.
I see.
And the findings really back this up. Digitalization lives or dies on integrating that human talent with the digital tools. It solves that core problem of why these projects fail, focusing only on the tech and forgetting the human who needs to make it work.
Okay, this is where the action really starts to connect. You have the leadership, the DLC, but then the study points to this critical technical piece, digital technology alignment, or DTA. If DLC is the vision, DTA feels like the plumbing, the infrastructure to make it happen.
That's a great way to put it. DTA is absolutely the foundational infrastructure. It's all about the degree of fit or compatibility between your shiny new digital tech, say, a new AI system, and everything your organization already has.
And that's where things get so hard, right? In big old companies?
Absolutely. We're talking about pre-existing technologies, old databases, the way people have been doing their jobs for 20 years, legacy structures.
It's one thing to buy new tech. It's another to get it to talk to a system that's, I don't know, from the 90s. That's where that failure rate must come from.
It does. And it's so important to see DTA not as a one-time project. It's this ongoing process of constantly evaluating and tweaking.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's say you install some amazing new predictive maintenance sensors, a great new digital tool. But if the data from those sensors can't communicate with your existing inventory system or your energy grid controls, you have failed at DTA.
The new tool just becomes an island.
An isolated, useless island of data.
Exactly. So the leader with DLC provides that push, but DTA is what makes sure the new tools can actually speak the same language as the old infrastructure. How does the leader make that happen?
By driving the change. Only the leader with strong DLC can really force the issue, break down those technical and departmental silos.
Yeah.
They're the ones who lead employees to adapt the new tech, to modify the old systems. Without that top-down push, people just resist. The systems stay incompatible.
And the study found a direct link between that alignment, DTA, and better environmental performance. How does that alignment translate into green outcomes?
Through efficiency. That's the first and most immediate win. When all your systems are talking to each other, you get much better data. You can analyze your processes continuously.
You can see the waste.
Instantly. You can pinpoint resource bottlenecks, optimize energy use. And it's not just internal. When you extend DTA out to your supply chain, you can find resource similarities, optimize logistics, and just minimize waste across the entire value chain.
So there it is. The first big finding. DTA is the bridge between leadership's intention and the actual environmental result.
It is. It mediates that relationship. It's the essential practical step. You can have the most visionary digital leader, but if their vision hits a wall of incompatible infrastructure,
it just dies right there at the starting gate.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move to the second mechanism, digital innovation. Now, if DTA is about making sure current systems play nice together, digital innovation sounds like the engine for what comes next.
That's right. It's the more creative, disruptive part of the equation.
So how does that fit into the push for environmental goals?
So digital innovation is defined as creating fundamentally new things, new business processes, new products, new services that are all driven by these advanced digital technologies.
Like AI, machine learning.
Data analytics, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about using tech to completely change what you do and how you do it.
Could you give us a concrete example, maybe from that healthcare context?
Absolutely. Think about shifting from, you know, old school paper prescription systems.
Right, with the physical files and all that.
To a fully integrated AI-driven system for dispensing drugs and monitoring patients remotely, that's a digital innovation. And it doesn't just improve patient care.
It has to cut down on resources.
Drastically.
Ah.
It reduces paper, travel for appointments, and even pharmaceutical waste because the AI can optimize timing and dosage with incredible precision.
And the sources say that DLC, the leadership, drives this by turning people into environmental champions.
Exactly. The leader with DLC is the one who encourages that kind of creative thinking. They frame environmental responsibility not as a cost you have to bear, but as a source of real competitive advantage.
It empowers people to use the tools for new things.
Yes. It gives them the creative license to transform a conventional, wasteful process into something new and environmentally friendly.
And the data confirmed this was a second distinct pathway to results.
It did. Digital innovation also mediates the relationship between DLC and environmental performance. This fits perfectly with the leveraging part of ROT. Innovation is the primary leveraging mechanism. It takes all the soft skills, the vision from the leader, and it turns them into tangible, real-world outcomes. New processes, safer services, that kind of thing.
This is fascinating. So we have these two powerful channels. Alignment, DTA, which gives you efficiency, and innovation, which gives you transformation. But the study found something even deeper, a combined effect, this serial mediation. Let's talk about the big picture. What does it mean when leadership leads to alignment, which then leads to innovation, which then finally leads to better environmental performance?
This serial mediation is probably the most important finding for any manager listening. It establishes a necessary sequence, a required order of operations.
Okay.
You found the DLC leads to DTA, and DTA then acts as the essential launchpad for digital innovation to even happen effectively.
Yeah.
And that innovation is what ultimately delivers the environmental performance.
I want to really dig into that logic. Why does alignment have to come before innovation? Can't a great leader just, you know, mandate innovation directly?
No.
You'd think so, but it doesn't work that way.
Why is DTA the mandatory bridge?
Because without alignment, your innovation is fragile. It's unstable. It can't scale.
Okay.
I mean, digital innovations are often complex, bespoke things, new software, new data models. For those new things to actually work across an organization and deliver consistent benefits, they have to integrate perfectly with the existing technological backbone.
Can you paint a picture of what failure looks like there?
Let's go back to that Australian hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine they decide to innovate with, say, advanced robotic surgery systems, a brilliant digital innovation.
Right.
But these robots, they generate huge amounts of data. They need special instruments. Now, if that hospital skipped the hard work of DTA, if that new robot software can't talk to the main electronic health records or the sterilization tracking system or the supply chain,
the whole thing grinds to a halt.
The innovation fails. The data is trapped. You can't track waste, and you get operational breakdowns because the new system can't tell the old systems what it needs. DTA is the work that builds those data pipelines and communication protocols. It's what makes the innovation robust and reliable.
It's the difference between a cool demo and a tool that actually transforms the organization.
That's it, exactly.
That makes the sequence so clear. DTA is that unsexy but vital work that stops the shiny new innovation from crashing and burning.
Mm-hmm.
So let's ground this one more time in that context. Australian healthcare. We talked about their huge greenhouse gas footprint. What is it about that industry that's so tough from a sustainability perspective?
Well, it's not just the energy, though that's a big part of it. It's the sheer complexity of the waste.
What do you mean?
Hospitals produce huge volumes of chemical waste, pharmaceutical, biological, even radioactive waste. All of it needs very specialized, energy-intensive handling and disposal. And on top of that, you have massive 24/7 energy use for climate control, ventilation, sterilization.
It's a unique mix of high stakes, life or death operations, and just massive resource consumption.
That's it. And that's why these digital tools, big data to optimize resource use, AI to manage climate control, are so essential. They're the only way these organizations can do their primary job while also shrinking that environmental footprint.
And the serial mediation shows managers how to actually leverage those tools effectively.
It gives them a strategic, sequential roadmap.
So for a manager listening right now, what's the actionable three-step strategy that this research confirms?
Okay, step one, invest in digital leadership capability. Find or train leaders who can build that environmental vision and actually drive change.
Step two.
Step two is to relentlessly, and I mean relentlessly, pursue digital technology alignment. Make sure your infrastructure can actually support the new tools you want to bring in.
And only then.
And only once that stable, aligned foundation is in place do you move to step three. Leverage that foundation to foster continuous digital innovation. That sequence is what gives you the maximum environmental return on your investment.
So the core conclusion here is that environmental performance isn't something that just happens when you buy new tech.
Not at all. It requires a very deliberate, very strategic orchestration of the human side. The DLC, with those technical mechanisms, DTA and digital innovation.
Right. And the research showed that while leadership has a direct impact on its own, because a strong vision always matters, the real power is in the indirect effect.
Overwhelmingly so. The combined result that flows through both DTA and digital innovation is where the true benefit lies.
Yeah.
It proves you need those complementary capabilities to really move the needle.
So for you, the learner, these findings are incredibly actionable, especially if you're in a similar high-stakes, resource-intensive industry. But we always have to think about the limits of any research.
Of course.
This study was all done in a single country, Australia, which has its own specific regulatory environment and institutional priorities around sustainability. So the findings show what works there. But here's the final thought for you to consider. How might the importance of each of these three steps, leadership, alignment, innovation, how might that shift if you are in a country with a totally different culture?
Mm.
Maybe a culture with more resistance to change, or in a place with radically stricter, or maybe much looser. government rules on environmental accountability, that role of national culture, of institutional pressure, that's the next big question. And it will determine if this exact sequence holds true everywhere.